In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The text for this morning's sermon is the Gospel appointed for the seventh Sunday after Trinity, the Gospel according to St. Mark, the 8th chapter, beginning at verse 1. In those days, the multitude being very great and having nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples to him and said to them, I have compassion on the multitude because they have now continued with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away hungry to their own houses, they will faint on the way, for some of them have come from afar. Then his disciples answered him, How can one satisfy these people with bread here in the wilderness? He asked them, How many loaves do you have? And they said, 7. So he commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground, and he took the 7 loaves and gave thanks, broke them and gave them to his disciples to set before them, and they set them before the multitude. They also had a few small fish, and having blessed them, he said to set them also before them. So they ate and were filled, and they took up 7 large baskets of leftover fragments. Now those who had eaten were about 4,000, and he sent them away. This is the Gospel of our Lord. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Jesus is being followed by a multitude. They are the circumcised, the church, if you will, as are you, in a sense, for Colossians 2 tells us that you who have received the circumcision, not of men, but the circumcision of Christ, are those who have been baptized into Christ. Dear Zachary, that you had faith in Christ already before this morning is fairly plain to all of us. But when in the years to come? The devil goes to head gaming you and asking you, Are you sure you believe? Are you sure you're sure? Are you sure that you're sure you're sure? You may bring the devil's stupid head games to an abrupt end with a variant of Luther's answer to the devil, a much modern variant, July 10th, 2016. Nevertheless, I am baptized. And the baptized belong to the Lord, no matter how much the devil tries to head game their minds. Well, these who are the church have continued with Jesus for 3 days, we are told, and they are in need of sustenance. As he looks upon those who are in need, Jesus tells his disciples, I have compassion on the multitude. Welcome, dear deprived ones. Welcome to you, blessed multitude. Welcome to this third day assembly, where we gather to receive that with which our Lord Jesus Christ would feed us, Take heart, every one of you, for Jesus sees your need and has compassion on you. The law must do its work first. For some, it would seem the law has less work left to do. Just as your stomach will tell you that you are in need of food. Some of you have been so visited by the devastation that sin can cause in a person's life. There isn't a doubt in your mind that you need some help. And thus the Holy Spirit works readily through Jesus' message of compassion and forgiveness to call you to repentance and to salvation. For others, it's different. Just this last week, I headed off to visit Sandra Bailey. For those of you who have been following my Facebook, you've probably seen all of the poor, pitiful me, I have to endure Puerto Rico sort of posts that I've been putting out. Sandra Bailey, of course, has endured some health issues such that she would be like one of those that I just mentioned. On the day that I left, my sweet wife made me breakfast. But between getting to the airport, flying, getting from the airport to where I was staying and so forth, it was 8 p.m. before Sandra's daughter, Luisa, offered me some food. Carne guisada, Puerto Rican style. And you know, with everything I was doing until that moment, I hadn't even realized I was hungry. But boy, did I realize it when she put it in front of me. 2/3 of it before I realized it had olives in it, and I thought I didn't like olives. Then I rejoiced to eat the remaining third, having discovered that olives in this dish were just fabulous. The point of this real life illustration from last week is that for me, and probably for most of you in various ways, you are quite capable of having an unmet need and not even realizing that you have it, that you need this thing. And especially if food isn't available, I'm quite capable of telling myself, well, that's okay. I'm really not all that hungry anyway. And the dangerous, ugly, spiritual equivalent to that is that sometimes people don't even notice their own sin. They may not even see or particularly take note of its destructive influence in their lives. They're just that spiritually oblivious. They think of themselves as basically good people, for all of the reasons that our society gives you permission to think of such things. Oh, I'm a good person because I don't support what at least looked on video like police getting out of hand with their authority. Oh, I'm a good person because I support the police. Oh, I'm a good person because I don't steal and I don't kill. I'm certainly not as bad as fill-in-the-blank bad guy that I saw on TV or that I know goes to Charity Lutheran Church, and I'm better than he is, so I must be okay. This sort of comparative righteousness thing, our society doles up a whole bunch of that. And because people buy into it, they have no recognition of their own need for repentance and the forgiveness of sins. Especially if they don't know where to find forgiveness, they can tell themselves the not so little, not so white lie equivalent of my I'm not all that hungry anyway. I'm not really all that sinful anyway. Upon such spiritually arrogant, proud, stubborn people, Jesus also has compassion. But that compassion requires more drastic mercy. It requires a harsher proclamation of the law so that the law can do its work, and these people being crushed by the law, the Holy Spirit can then use the gospel to deliver Jesus' salvation. The point remains, Jesus wants to have compassion on you. He wants to feed you with the bread of life. He does not want you fainting as you are on your way. So he sits the multitude down, and then come words that seem oddly familiar. It says, he took the loaves, gave thanks, broke them, and gave them to the disciples to give on to the people. And so also he does with a few fish. The Lord provides. Now I want you to consider that you may be guarded against wrong-headed thinking. I want you to consider how he could have done the miracle. He could have filled their stomachs directly. Of course. He really could have done that. Or he could have pulled a charlatan. Y'all sit down. I've got a word of faith for you. I want you all to believe that you're full and not hungry. And if you'll just believe hard enough, you'll start to feeling full. That's how a lot of modern false prophets do it. And when they do, you see the result that this has on their congregations. It places you under a great deal of psychological pressure to either A, convince yourself that you're really full, or B, at least carry on as though you're not hungry, so people will think that you've got strong faith, and thus you will be accepted as spiritual in such circles. Jesus is no false prophet, and he gives the multitudes no faith-filling. He works through physical means. Dear ones in Christ, get that. Jesus works through physical means. In the Old Testament, he worked through physical means. He used physical dust of the ground to create man in the first place, and a physical rib taken from the man to create the first woman. He used physical circumcision and the physical body and blood of the Passover lamb to save his people. In the New Testament, of course, there is the physical water of baptism and the physical bread and wine that convey the body and blood of the Lamb of God, our Lord Jesus Christ, to save us. That has always been how God works, through physical means. So beware of any who would give you empty symbols and tell you that it's really up to you to feel the spiritual reality. And by the way, you'd better be claiming to, or you might not even be saved. No. Do not follow such false prophets. Go where God is delivering the physical goods. Jesus delivers, miraculously to be sure, but he delivers. Those who have been without the physicality, the physical food that their bodies need, have that physicality given them on the third day, the physicality of bread and fish. He distributes that body-saving gift to those who were there that day by way of his called ministers. Dear ones in Christ, consider your souls. What do they need? Have you ever known someone who has been sick for so long that they have forgotten, or in some cases maybe even never even known, what it felt like to just feel good? We're all like that when it comes to sin. We're all conceived and born sinners. We have never ever known how it feels to have minds unclouded by sinful thoughts, emotions untainted by impure affections, bodies unsullied by sinful urges. But that's how they should be. That's what God created them to be in the first place. So as I love you in the Lord, dear ones in Christ, I command you, repent of every last scrap of your being that is thus clouded and tainted and sullied to the point that they are by nature even rightly described as dead in trespasses and sins. Consider your sin. Consider the many things you have done acting out of this sinful nature that were sinful. Consider that hell really is your just reward. Let that terrify you, as it should, and repent. Next, hear the good news that Jesus has lived a perfect life for you and offered that life up as an atoning sacrifice for you on the cross. By his sufferings and death, he has fully paid the wages of sin. There on the cross, enduring even the very hell that you deserved, and for his sake, you are forgiven and set at peace with God. Now that could leave a person to wondering, is that gruesome death really what I somehow needed? Dare I bank all my hope of eternal life on this Jesus and on his death on the cross? I mean, he no more than dies, and they take his body down from the cross and put it in a tomb behind a stone so large that no man could move it. What is faith to hold on to? Jesus has compassion on you. Continue with him 3 days, and your soul receives the physical sustenance that it needs. Jesus rises from the dead on the third day, that the church may not merely cling to an abstract proposition, but rather to her physically resurrected Lord. Just as Christ had compassion on the multitudes that day, so he has compassion on you. He does something physical for your salvation, dying on the cross and rising on the third day. But then he places the physicality of salvation into the hands of his called servants, that they may distribute these gifts to you. Jesus teaches them first, and then comes the distribution. So too, in parallel to that, the church insists on doing the teaching first and then distributing. St. Augustine, commenting on this text, offers that in the very proclamation of the word, Jesus feeds you with the bread of salvation. Indeed, it is so, and all the more if it is rightly understood, for the words... You learn this in biology class. There are physical vibrations that go through the air. They bounce on your physical eardrums. That's how the spoken word works. Like a sacrament. The words are physically stuck into your ears. They are physically received, that believing in them, you may have eternal life. So the Lord appoints his called and ordained servants to distribute himself to you by way of the faithful proclamation of the word, by way of the faithful proclamation of the person and work of him who is the Word of God, our crucified Lord Jesus Christ. His ministers distribute him also by way of the water of holy baptism. For in those waters you are buried with Christ, raised with Christ, clothed with Christ, Indeed, you put on Christ. Finally, our Lord uses his pastors to be his tools, forgiving you what he himself took and gave thanks for and broke and distributed, his own body and blood, given you by way of bread and wine for the forgiveness of your sins. Dear ones in Christ, dear people of the multitude, who as poor, miserable sinners are either hungry for the gospel or ought to be, hear it. Christ has compassion on you. He has lived for you, died for you, risen for you, and entrusted his ministers with distributing himself to you. Your sins are all forgiven you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.